Tonight, we talk to actress Harmony France about her viral article she wrote recently. Then we continue our coverage of Sketchfest as two groups swing by and Brandon C. Price rides sidecar for the rest of the show. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Oh, I hope everyone's being safe outside. And if you're inside, just snuggle up. Just snuggle up to the radio. I mean, you don't have to, like, you know, have to cuddle with it. But, you know, keep us on and we'll try to keep you warm, if not laughing and thinking. And maybe you want to join the conversation anytime. We invite you to give us a call at 312-981-7200. You can text us to the same number. It's 312-981-7200. You can visit our Facebook page. That's Patty V Show on Facebook, Patty with an I. And, you know, chime in on anything. But right now, I'm sorry. Esmeralda, you're using words like all lanes are blocked, spinning out. These are things that make me just want to go, you know, I had somewhere to be.
Not yet. All lanes are not yet, so don't freak people out. Just three right lanes are down
just
right now.
Just three. That sounds like a lot. Yeah, right. There's a difference. She said three lanes. She didn't say all lanes.
Yeah, three right lanes is totally... Yeah, how many right lanes are there?
Yes.
I mean, you know...
Are there four?
I can't be like the right lane and then the center right lane and then the center...
The one next to it, just left of center.
If three out of four are blocked, couldn't you just say that most lanes are blocked?
Ooh.
Almost all the lanes are blocked.
Yeah, but then people are going to be like, well, which one was it?
That's a good point.
Tell
I'm in the right lane and it's closed.
Interesting. My lane, you didn't tell me my lane was closed. Yeah, words like spin out are the kinds of things that I can't, like I'm already thinking about driving home at 2:30 in the morning. So please, everyone, be careful and make a clear path for me. And I'm not thinking just of myself. I'm thinking of you as well. Let's all be safe out there.
Well, we should tell Esmeralda to keep reporting to leave Patty's lane open.
Keep my lane open.
I have a special one. Patty's lane.
I prefer the third from the right on the inbound on the outbound Kennedy. I'm not going to tell you where I get off at.
Make sure to keep all that in your reports, Esmeralda, as
yes,
we
please.
Go home.
Yeah.
Third from the right.
We're going to call the Patty lane. Is that a problem for everyone?
She's making faces.
She's making
excited faces. That's what those are.
Did you have a good weekend, Esmeralda?
I did. It was nice.
Did you stay in and stay warm, or were you out and about?
I was out and about, but before it started to snow. I went out Friday.
Oh, very nice.
So Friday was pretty calm.
Yes, Friday was actually still a decent day. Rob yes. Martier, how about yourself?
My weekend was fantastic because on Saturday night, I sat at the edge of my couch for the entire Steelers-Bengals game in Cincinnati. It was a knockdown, drag-out, bloody brawl in which my Steelers came out on top. So I'm very excited.
Congratulations on your success in,
yeah,
in battle.
Yeah, all you Bears fans out there, take that.
Yeah, we gave up like on the second game. We saw where things were going. You can't kick us when we're down. Look, somebody's hurt. Let me just step on their neck. Why would you do that? Craig, your weekend, you came out to Sketchfest
on Sketch
Saturday
Fest.
Night.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Now, do you understand why I became addicted last year?
Yeah, it is great.
I saw as many shows as I possibly... I saw a lot of shows. Saw a lot of things.
You were there all
weekend.
Days.
All the days.
Okay.
I saw only one group on Thursday, one group on Friday, maybe two groups on Friday.
Because you had to like work and stuff.
I had to come here.
Yeah.
And then Saturday I started at 5 and we were there... What time were we there till? 3 a.m.? We were at Sketchfest.
It was 2:30 when we walked out.
Yes, we were at Sketchfest from 5 p.m. till 2:30 in the morning. I don't know if we were supposed to be there at the end there,
but we were. Yeah, because the last thing is really for the performers.
For the industry, yes.
And that's a lot of fun to be an industry stuff. Actually.
Oh, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did some things.
Stuff. You have to come this Saturday because if one of the groups that did stuff last year, there are things that...
Is there stuff worse than the toothbrushing?
Yes.
Okay. That is a lot.
We will have Molly and Liam in tomorrow night, the toothbrushing scene.
Oh my God, I'm going to see those people in person.
I don't think that we're going to. Yes, I can't. Esmeralda, Rob, listeners, I don't know that we can describe what happened on stage with hard candy. But, you know, when you're brushing teeth, I never really think too much about all the splattering, but hard candy takes that imagery to a new level of how much spit there is in the bathroom.
Yeah. Well, and they also
are talking and brushing.
I think they're also making fun a little bit of the couples that don't really care about sharing a toothbrush or
stuff. They really are. Yeah. There's a lot of fluid on the stage. I think it's so funny because it's so ridiculous, so over the top. And nobody would believe some of the gentlemen that we were with they didn't think it was going to go that much. Like they thought that was the farthest you could go.
Right.
And then at one point they switched toothbrushes.
Yep.
And then
other stuff happened.
Yeah, there's not any explaining it. Yesterday, I saw our guests from earlier last week, Vicky Coons and Kelly, who did their one-woman shows. And I did my one-woman show. We had, it was 5, 6, and 7 block of us. And I believe Abby Vatterott was also on after us. So that was, I had a lot of fun. Thank you to, we had listeners that were at the show last night. So thank you very much for coming out. There was one listener who said, I listened to your show. And I was kind of like trying to get out of the way for the next show. So I didn't get a chance to ask him what he thought of that performance. So I hope he liked it. It was fun.
I think it was probably pretty good.
I've told you this last week. It was there were a lot of performers that were in the audience. Brian mm-hmm. Posen stayed for it. Their marketing director stayed for it.
And this is the first year you performed at this.
This is my first time doing Sketchfest.
Got it.
And as a stand, I think that they were like at one point Brian Posen in the scheduling process when I pitched my idea for doing the show, he asked me if there were elements of my performance that would be sketchy. Not like shady, but
that's a great question.
Sketch like,
yeah.
So I don't know. I guess I'll have to ask them now if that qualified. Of
you're going to ask them if you were sketchy last weekend.
Yes, yesterday. Yes,
good.
They'll be on tomorrow night. Brian Posen and Brian Peterlich, who are the masterminds behind all of this. And we have a lot of performers every night. There are over 160 groups performing. There are 180 performances. You still have from Thursday through Sunday to catch more of these shows, including Cupid Players, who were reviewed in the Chicago Tribune. A lot of groups. Superpunk was also reviewed. They got a very nice write-up. We loved our guys, Mike.
Yeah, those
and
guys
Phillip.
Are great.
They were very good. I've been here in this building since 8 a.m. I've been here, Esmeralda,
doing stuff.
From 8 a.m. I stair-climbed today.
Yeah, with Stephanie, right?
And with Kristen Decker, with
oh,
Katie,
nice.
With Todd Manley, Maureen.
You had a whole group?
And two groups. I was showing people, I showed Sarah where the stairwell was.
Sure.
She didn't want, you know, they didn't want to commit. They did not have workout clothes. Other
Got
people
it.
I kind of hijacked out of their offices. And it's, you know, how much, it's much easier to get people during the day to go do a stairwell with me. It turns out you folks in the middle of the night, I don't know about my crew.
Yeah,
down here.
I did it.
And you have done it. You've joined me in the stairwells.
Yeah. And then,
Stephanie is not pleased with the stairwells. She thinks
no.
they're creepy. They're a little creepy.
She's done it twice though now, right?
Yes, she has. Very good job. I did 65 floors today.
How does everyone take the cold floor?
No, it's, you know what? That's boarded up now.
Okay.
That's been boarded up.
Good.
They don't take the hot, once you get past that little bridge, it's very, the last four floors are very hot and steamy.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a rough way to end it.
Yeah, people don't. Yeah, you only have four more floors, but it feels much farther away. But here's something I realized. Harmony France is coming in, and she's written a great piece about being an actress in Chicago and the things she's been asked to do. We talked about this last week. She's been told to lose weight if she wants a career to go on or get a part. But I realized there are things that I thought in my head today that, Craig, I don't think you've ever had in your mind. I was in the middle of our sales meeting at 8 a.m., and I was saying, like, oh, my God, my tights are rolling down. So that happened. And then I had to take a nap tonight, and I thought, oh, these eyelashes from yesterday are really stinging me.
Yeah, never. Never had either of those. Rob might. Rob might
have. Rob, have you ever left yesterday's eyelashes on? Has that ever been?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I hate that.
It really bothers me.
Yeah. And then they get clumpy.
So, yes, it does. It does. And I just think that the glue, like, is it starting to come loose now? So, yes, as a feminist, I perhaps am not the best representative. I think Harmony will do a much better job talking gender and the industry. More when we come back. Harmony France after this on 720 WGN. It's pretty late. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and I am joined by actress. Would you say also casting director is one of your titles?
Yes.
Harmony France, who has drawn a lot of attention. I'm hoping mostly good stuff. Yes?
Mostly good.
Mostly
yeah.
good. Tell us a little bit about the motivation behind this piece that you wrote, that You're Not Believable as a Love Interest was a headline that was shared by the Huffington Post.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it actually started a week before that. I started posting each day a picture of myself in something curvy girls aren't supposed to wear. So one of them was polka dots, you know, okay. and one of them was bright colors and et cetera, et cetera. And it just kept...
According to whom that we, the curvy girls aren't supposed to wear?
Just all of those
rules.
Stupid magazines and the rules, you know, mm-hmm. we're supposed to wear black. That's what we're supposed to wear. We're supposed to wear black and be...
As I wear my black with my jacket.
And make ourselves as small as possible, you know. And so I kind of was, each day I was posting a new photo, kind of, you know,
wearing what you wanted,
wearing what I wanted to wear. Exactly. And celebrating that and celebrating curves, because I haven't always celebrated my curves. And so that's something new for me. And it just kept building. It kept building and I kept thinking about it. And being a casting director and being an actor, I started to think about the discrimination in the theater for all kinds of things. And it started about me, but honestly, it's so much bigger than that. It's so much bigger.
Because the theater, it seems like this is the place, especially Chicago, where we're always sort of held up as this place where it's real acting and it's, you know, because it's not New York where people want to go to Broadway. This is where people really want to come if they want to be actors.
Exactly.
And so many average, I mean, John Mahoney was 37 when he started, and John Malkovich, not a movie star looking guy, you know, maybe Gary Sinise, but still kind of like not what you would, you know, what you think of as movie stars. And yet they became, all of them became high profile actors, you know, for, I guess, Laurie Metcalf, you know, but there seems to be a smaller sort of percentage of women who, you know, maybe character actors.
Correct. Yeah.
But the high profile, is it limiting in that? Because you would think that it shouldn't be in the theater. It should be sort of a taste of everybody.
Well, as you spoke to, you don't come to Chicago to get rich and famous as an actor.
Right.
Just trust me on that. You don't. If you are, you're a fool. You go to New York, you go to LA. If you come to Chicago, it's really about the work. It's about the art. It's about the collaboration. And yeah, we're not seeing on the stages a representation of Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, we're seeing 90% white and male. And I just think we need to shake that up a bit.
Well, and Craig, this is something I hesitate because this actually was in the piece about Sketchfest. The reviewer mentioned that it was predominantly, and I participated in Sketchfest, but I saw...
I know Brian Posen.
Yes, so I know Brian Posen and I love him, and I know that, but and I think for him, it might also be a result of supply and demand, right?
Sure.
What the supply of performers are. Like, I've asked a lot of the performers from different groups like Cupid Players and Vamp. I've asked them, you know, where are your people of color? And they said, someone told me that if someone's really talented, like if someone who's black or Latino, mm-hmm. they get scooped up and go somewhere else. But where is that?
Yeah, I mean, that is part of it. That is a reality. And being a casting director who has cast a lot of minority heavy shows, you can't just post an audition notice and expect for them to show up. Not always.
Right.
So you have to do your due diligence. You have to go to showcases, go see shows in the city, try to find the new exciting talent,
right.
Go watch shows at the colleges, you know, get them before they go equity, because they're going to go equity like that, you know, for my company, which was a non-equity company.
Explain, so equity is union, is that right?
Equity is union,
okay.
Correct. So for my company, and I cast both equity and non-equity shows, but the one I'm a casting director for is a non-equity company. So for us to get those minority actors before they go equity is a challenge, but it's just so worth the work. It's more work. It is.
Right.
It is more work. And I lose actors all the time, and then I have to go find replacements. But it's like, this is such a collaborative community. We're a family. We really are. I mean, of all of the theater towns, this is actually, we're very close. But it's like if we're all sitting down to dinner, okay, and we're all eating dinner together, but the women are only invited on Thursdays. And, you know,
like, right.
Black actors are only invited, you know, every other Monday. Like,
right.
We're starving part of our family. We need to hear all of those voices.
And to, again, with Brian Posen, they also have the Women's Fest in the summertime, right? So they have Stage 773 has this festival. And I've done a lot of female festivals. I don't send out applications to a lot of fests. It's one of those things where I never quite... There's such a weird energy at some of them, too. Like, people will hope that they'll be seen by somebody and those kinds.
Yeah.
Less so Sketchfest and less so Stage 773. That really is, like, it's like comedy camp.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Craig, I think, will attest to this. Like, being that we were there for shows on Saturday, and the energy there is so great. So, and then it's similar to that for Women's Fest, but there's less, it seems like there's less of a turnout. Like, Like, it's almost for us, for our community. And, you know, I don't know if that, because people see that it's a, oh, it's a women's festival, you know, it's going to be all chick stuff. And there's a lot to see there. So it's also the, how much of it do you think is partly audience driven, that sort of pressure to be white and male?
I don't think it is. I think we've fooled ourselves that it is. I think our audiences are smarter than that. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the success of Star Wars right now. Look right. at that. Look at that.
And then, but look how hard it is to get it, to get the Daisy figure, the Rey.
Right?
Yes.
Because they don't think men will buy it, which is ridiculous.
I already bought my...
Because they think it's a boy's toy.
I bought a Rey Lego with her speeder. I already bought that for my son. So no, he has all like for when it... And you know, it was always very hard for him to get like Catwoman and Batgirl because mm-hmm. he has all the superheroes.
Yep.
He bought Wonder... Whenever he sees a Wonder Woman, he buys that for me.
Every store I go in, I've been looking for a Rey doll. It's just... It's this national sickness that we have, that even though women are half of our population, mm-hmm. we are just not represented in the media.
So one of the things that we're going to talk about, because I'm going to keep you for a little bit,
yeah.
I think that you've gotten, I saw a couple of things where I didn't see the original post. You said that, can I just have my oatmeal first? I just woke up. I don't want to deal with this right now. I'm guessing it was somebody. Was it someone that you knew that you were addressing? I didn't see the post that you were referring to.
I actually started a fan page pretty quickly on Facebook just because I was having so many requests for friendships and messages and all this stuff, and I want to keep my life
yes,
personal.
That's smart.
So
right.
I started a fan page, and so it was someone, it was just whoever. It was someone that read the article. And they, what did they equate? I have to get it right. They said something about how if the population is predominantly white, why shouldn't them be predominantly white on stage? This is against what Martin Luther King stood for. And
they invoked Martin Luther King.
Yes, yes.
To say that if most of the population is white, then why shouldn't pop culture and theater be white?
How
is that? That's a weird way to take. And it's usually people.
It's brought out some crazies.
Yes.
For sure.
And so for those of you for whom this conversation is falling on your ears with like, come on, a sickness. I don't know if that's the voice that you use in your head. That's the way that I hear it.
I hear it that way too.
Do you? Yeah. I don't know why people get so angry because, okay, here's my point, my perspective on this. If it makes you angry, then it makes me feel like we're calling you mean, which means that you're probably kind of doing
it's hitting a
harsh
nerve.
Things, right?
It's hitting a nerve. It's guilt.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, like most of the pushback, I mean, honestly, all of the pushback has been male. Mm-hmm. And I've also had so much support from men in my life and men from around the world. So, you know, that's not to generalize, but.
And you would hope that the reaction would be, oh, I didn't realize that. Right. Or
exactly.
I didn't know that. Like mm-hmm. when you hear something that is someone's point of view and their take on it, especially based on experience. Hey, Brent, it's Brandon C. Price from Vamp and Cupid. We were talking about, I don't know if you had a chance. I will send you Harmony France's piece on She Was Told She Was Not Believable as a Love Interest. And this has been something that's in the community and a lot of people are reading. You know, it's one of those things where you want someone to go, oh, that's a point of view that I hadn't really thought of. That's mm-hmm. that's what's supposed to be taken away from a piece, not I'm attacking you specifically.
Well, it's been very interesting. It's almost been like a social experiment, except I didn't plan it,
yes.
of how people reacted. A lot of people have been like, oh, but you are beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't say I wasn't. You know what I mean? That's actually,
it's a weird thing.
Funny
yeah.
how people are reacting to it.
Well, as a woman, need to be told that, but mm-hmm. we don't need to be told that what we are is not only not good enough, but not believable in certain aspects. It's just, well, the fact that we're going to take a break here, but the fact that you feel that you've been trained to hate your body, I think a lot of women, both in show business and in their lives, feel that way, whether it's from family members, friends, relationships along their line, somewhere along the path. More when we come back with Harmony France. And now Brandon C. Price is going to join us in just a moment. I'm Pretty Late with Patti Vasquez, 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patti Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and we are talking to Harmony France, who has written a piece that's gone viral that appeared in the Huffington Post. We also have Brandon C. Price. Well, not that that makes it viral, but in a lot of places. Brandon C. Price from Vamp and Cupid. Should we ask you both?
Let's double it up.
Hold on a second. Let me give you a microphone. Let's go like that. Boom.
Yeah, let's double it up.
Yes, because you have Vamp running simultaneously.
I have such exciting news for you in a little bit about that.
All right, very good. He's like ready to burst. So this piece that Harmony has written, she's been told things in her career as an actress in Chicago. I mean, you're good looking, but you're not beautiful. They told us you were smaller.
Yeah, that was costume people. Actually, they're all.
Hold on one second, Harmony. I'm sorry. Yeah. We have a traffic update from Esmeralda.
Just real quick, we've been watching that inbound Eisenhower at Laramie. That is now all shut down from Laramie to Central. They're doing a police investigation in the area, so expect that to be for a little bit.
All directions on Laramie?
Yes, inbound Eisenhower at Laramie to Central.
Okay. Thank you very much, Esmeralda. I apologize.
Oh, that's okay.
We thought you would be smaller. They told us you were smaller.
Mm-hmm. That was actually a costume department. So it's all from different. It's from casting directors, director. I mean, everyone. A friend, you know. It's just when you're in a business like this where you don't sell a product, you're literally, you know, you're marketing yourself.
Yeah.
So people feel like they have the...
free range, yeah, permission, yes,
to give you all the advice that.
But that's not always advice. They told us we were smaller is not advice.
No.
I showed up on the set, Brandon, one time for a Walgreens commercial, and I had been called the day before. They were doing the new at the corner of Wellness and Happy, I think, for Walgreens, and it was the big one right here on State Street.
Okay.
And they told me I was going to be one of the makeup counter girls. So bring only black. Bring black tops, black dresses. You're going to be... And they actually told me on the phone that I was going to be one of the pretty girls. Right? So I get there, and the costumer is from LA and just comes in, just yelling, "Okay, let's see what we have." And picks three girls. I'm not one of them. One tall, beautiful black woman. This girl, Katie, that I've known for a long time. She was on that show, America's Next Ingenue, or whatever it was, with Faye Dunaway. Remember that contest years ago?
Kind of.
Yeah. And Vivica, I think Vivica Fox was one of the judges, too. Anyway, they picked their three. And then he's like, "Okay, we have our pretty girls. Let's see what's left."
Oh my gosh.
And at one point there was a shorter black woman who had come in a black dress. He told her to take her dress and give it to the pretty girl because hers was better than what the tall girl had brought. I mean, this girl ended up in the hallway crying. For me, now I am curvy. I am a little bit curvy, and I didn't bring anything but black clothes because they had told me to. And he was yelling at me for not having more stuff. I was like, "Well, I have a jean jacket." So he sent someone to Old Navy. They bought a bunch of dresses, and he handed me a spaghetti strap green dress. And I just started laughing when he handed it to me. "What? What is so funny?" And I said, no, "I'll put it on." And I came around the corner where he goes, "Oh, no. The client would fire me if you were on camera like that." I have big boobs. I'm a 32G. And he was like, "Where's your jean jacket?" And asked me if I had another bra. But with permission. Like,
yeah.
Your choice is to not be there. That's my choice there is like to say something is to be fired.
Well, and that's I think that's why a lot of actors, including myself, stay quiet for so long is because there's a dime a dozen. There's so many actors, and all of them will take the job for less money than you if you give it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's always someone that wants to take your spot, but that doesn't mean that we have to give up our dignity and that we don't expect them to treat us with respect.
I know. Friend of mine in Los Angeles read your piece, and I called her and I talked to her. She goes, "Oh, God, I knew you were going to ask me about this." And she goes, "I didn't like it." That's what she told me.
Yeah.
And she said her question for you was, "Have you tried something else?" Like moving was her biggest question, because she referred to Steve Colbert, who said when he was in Chicago, he only got one commercial in 10 years. And when he went to New York, he couldn't stop working. That was her only question.
Sure.
And I think that that's like, I didn't like it to come down to that one question. It seems like a lot more on her than on what you wrote. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, I just did the national tour of Sister Act. Mm-hmm. So I was in New York for a while this year, and I definitely got a taste of that. I guess the point I want to make is that I don't see this as being about me at all.
Right.
Because I direct. I'm a casting director. I do all these other things, and I'm still acting. I'm still doing shows. I'm still working. Mm-hmm. I don't see it as a bitter thing at all. It's so positive for me.
It seems like you feel like you've let go of something because you have said, "We must do," but it's a call to action.
It is a call to action. That's exactly what it is.
Now, Brandon, you work in comedy. And by the way, I have to ask Rini a question about the review that you guys got. You work with women of all types. And in comedy, like we have a little more, I think we do get a little more freedom. And there are sort of expected types. I mean, like, have you come across, I know that you, there are complicated relationships in show business in general on stage. Do you have you heard from women that they have these issues with auditions?
I mean, certainly, comedy or not. I mean, if you're doing your own work, if you're doing sketch, generally, that means you're creating your own work. So you create the material around who you are. And so big, small, tall, right. whatever, it's around
Yeah, we
you.
Have a little more freedom
so
on
you're,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Stand-up's mm-hmm. the same way. You're a little bit more free. And improv, it doesn't, nothing yeah. matters there. but, you know, of course, there's comedic theater and comedic musical theater. And it's a really tough line to draw, but because, like you said, like we are our own product, and a client or a consumer has the right to get the product that they're paying for that they want specifically. Mm-hmm. But you can treat an iPhone with as much disrespect as you'd like; it can't feel back. What do you owe the product that is also sentient? You know what I mean?
A human being.
It's a human.
And that's a tough line. I mean, to ask everybody to be super polite and PC is seems a lot much, but you're right. People shouldn't be walking around doing that in a, you know, with the dress and the story
well,
that you
and
told.
I think theater is different. I mean, all that we can compare the arts, but in the same way, they're playing to a client. They're assuming what the client wants. They don't know what. I mean, I don't think those clients are going to care if what is up there is truthful mm-hmm. and has heart and has great performances. I mean, there have been shows that have been cast, you know, with a little more imagination, and they love it.
You're right. Well, I also think that, you know, kind of molding what they want, telling you to fix your nose or your teeth. Mm-hmm. Also, part of the problem, I think, for little girls and for women as they get older, I think men have body issues that we don't talk about as much.
Oh, of course.
But I mean, like, when you create do you have body issues? Well, you look good.
I'm incredibly good looking.
I know.
No
I saw you
problems over there.
I saw you without your pants the other day. Oh. I'm not going to be able to shake that image like for a long, long. We'll talk about
that
after midnight.
That was in a show, ladies and gentlemen.
That was in a show. Oh, do I have to clarify these things? But I think that when we continue to, you know, the people who make decisions, what you're saying is that the people who make decisions can maybe think twice about who they look at. That's what you're asking for. You're saying, let's do better by, you know, if you have roles in a play, do they, and they're men, can they be played by a woman or someone who's transgender? Are we looking at people with disabilities?
Absolutely.
And but for theater, right? I mean,
and that's why I'm saying it's specific to theater, because what I want them to do is I want them to look at the text.
Right.
Is there something in the script that says the person has to be white? No. Right. Then, you know, let's try a different race. Is there something that says someone has to be a certain body type? No. Then let, you know, mm-hmm. and I said that, you know, specifically in the piece, just use a little more imagination. This is a creative right. field. Yeah. And I feel like the only place we're not creative is in casting.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Interesting.
It's hard, though, because you're playing to a standard that's been set by the general public. I mean, like, you know, we like pretty people on our TVs. You know what I mean? That's kind of the way that it is. And you'll sell more tickets with the prettier girl selling the Budweiser thing in the commercial. You know, and is that right? Absolutely not. And all types of bodies, human, male, female, whatever, are beautiful, of course. But there's a standard there, and so I don't think it's not only a creativity, it's a bravery.
I think it's also changing, though, and I think there are people that are fighting in Hollywood right now. There are women that are fighting in Hollywood right now to change it. And I mean, theater, it's live. You know what I mean? It's not like we're trying to get that perfect close-up of mm-hmm. someone's perfect face. Like, everyone's 20 feet away from you, and we're having this live experience. And what moves people in theater, what makes them laugh or cry or grieve, is how relatable the yeah. people are. They want to see themselves up on stage. It's right. not quite the same as commercials or movies. That's a little bit more fantasy, a little bit more. You know,
and it is between the commercials. If it's on network television,
yeah,
it is what's going. You know, they are selling products. They do want more advertisers too.
Yes.
Yeah,
I think that Shonda Rhimes did an interesting thing when she cast the woman who plays Bailey on Grey's Anatomy, because mm-hmm. she had said the way she had written it was not for a short black woman.
Yeah,
yeah. She actually, the reason they called that character the Nazi was it was supposed to be a tall blonde. And when they saw this actress, they had tried to be more creative.
And that's all. That's mm-hmm. all I'm asking for. That's all I think is just. Use the best person, you know, right. and try to find opportunities that we can just diversify a bit.
Yeah. Or if you're going to, even if you continue on the idea that sex sells, whether it is in commercials or to a lesser extent theater, let's change the definition of that.
Let's
because
change
I find
the
like
definition
most
of beautiful.
Things, you know, whether it's commercials or pornography or whatever, I hear people look at that stuff. I find myself thinking most of these people need a sandwich.
Yeah.
You know, like and so to I feel like that's a really important angle to attack too, is getting away from this idea that truly only Hollywood has created, that this one specific type of 105-pound, 5'1" little blonde human being is what is sex and is what is attractive. Right. Because, I mean, you know, like...
When did we decide that that, like, 2% of population are the only interesting stories worth being told?
I agree. I have something else I want to ask you about. We'll talk a little bit more about the trolling, the people that just want to start an argument or who are taking it personally. But before, when we come back, I want to ask you a little bit, because I saw that you posted one of the same links I did about the pilots during World War II, the women who are not being buried at Arlington Cemetery. I want to ask you about your point of view on that. More after this on 720 WGN. We're hanging out with Harmony France and Brandon C. Price. Give us a call and join the conversation or text us at 312-981-7200. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Thank you to our listeners who were calling to ask, the rest of the night, David Bowie. I was thinking about this before the show, Craig, because you know that I love music. I love dancing. I saw a lot of my friends who are in pain today on Facebook, including our good friend of the show, Patricia Nelson, who she always posts David Bowie. She's an artist and she's always drawn pictures of him, how much he's influenced her life, and she's in a lot of pain. I know a lot of people have been posting. I grew up listening to stand-up comics, and those are the kinds of things that affected me growing up, so I know that music is so important to a lot of people. So I apologize that we haven't talked about David Bowie yet. Yeah. My guests in the studio, Harmony France, Brandon C. Price, Andy Schwarzky, and Rina Hoff.
I haven't been here in a while. It's okay.
You're enough for me to get your name right. Did I get your name right, Andy?
Mostly.
Shut up. Andy and Rini are here.
Yay!
Do you not have your own microphones?
You
could share if you want to.
We love each other.
Yeah, I'm so used to sharing everything with Rini.
I think we should have enough headphones and stuff.
Yeah, we're good.
All right, excellent. Did you read Harmony? Did you happen to see this piece?
I totally did.
I did.
I thought so.
Yeah. I told you we needed them.
Yeah, I saw it and I was like, I think that's Harmony who wrote the article.
We were on the way and we were like, that's the girl.
This has been the weirdest week.
People you've never, yeah. It's such a woman piece where, like, as soon as women saw it, we're like, yes, whatever that is, make that happen on my Facebook page some more. And I'm sorry it took us a week to get you in here, but it's kind of the exciting thing about my job where I'm like, why don't we come talk about this?
Yeah, oh, it's great.
Well, and especially because we get to have a conversation. You keep having to respond to things like there's no nuance. Here you get to have a conversation. We will have you back too continue the conversation. What were your thoughts, Rini, Andy?
I loved it.
Yeah.
And everyone that I saw share it also loved it. And it was something that just needed to be said and needs to continue being said.
Yeah. Just snaps, girl. Snaps 100%. Yeah. How beautiful. Like, absolutely. What a beautiful thing to say as, like, someone who is a part of a performer in this community, mm-hmm. but, like, also just, like, a beautiful thing to reiterate for women.
Yeah. And just, like, stressing the importance of, like, it's... It's not about the, like, yeah, but you're still beautiful, though. It's I was never in doubt of that fact. And also, I don't care that that's what you're choosing to value in me right now, because you're wrong that that's what you're choosing to value in me right now, because I have so many other things that I was about to offer you.
And that was so many people's reaction, which was so interesting. They would all be like, but you are beautiful. Like,
yeah,
you, did you read it, though?
No.
But, like, did you read the article?
Yeah, the piece is not fishing for a compliment.
Yeah. It's, no.
Right. The fact, look, it's kind of one of those things where you know, someone telling you that they need you to look like something else is not an absence of your beauty. Mm-hmm. And you know that, right?
Yeah.
So you're like, this is me, and I know that I am valuable. And I'm just trying to find the place. And again, I think that was what my friend was asking was, you know, find someone who finds you valuable. But if I want my community, if I want more audiences to have access to people that reflect them, that was one of the things we talked about, too.
Well, and the thing is, I don't want it for me. I want it for the whole community.
Yeah.
You know?
That's why I never left Chicago. I want there to be a voice. Like, there are so few female comics who start to get successful. They leave. Mm-hmm. You know, Carmen Esposito, Beth Stelling, other comics. Hannibal left. Because I started getting successful, and I could if I wanted to, but I decided to stay in Chicago, and my family's here, and this is where I want to live and continue to have a voice in this scene. Donna wanted to join the conversation. Hey, Donna.
Hi.
Hi. What did you want to tell us?
Well, one of the things that I noticed is that if you take a classic like Judy Garland, The Wizard of Oz, and translate it into something else on stage like The Wiz, suddenly you've opened up an entire new audience, and there's an excitement that happens. Another example would be The Odd Couple from the 60s. I was an usherette at the theater at the Blackstone when it was here, and I saw Dan Daly, and I know what a joy it was to be performed with Peter Boyle on stage. However, now they're talking about making it an all-women production, and that adds a new excitement to it and a new way of looking.
I love hearing you say that.
Mm-hmm. Something that is old, but still got a lot of life left in it. And I think the more people stop looking at that casting, typecasting, whether it's a blonde, blue-eyed, cutesy pie, cupid doll, and start getting out into the real world and finding out that you can be sexy and large. And, mm-hmm. and sometimes
absolutely.
Having a little padding helps with your image. I see the commercials on TV for the new dance play that's going to be opening up. All these women, people are over 60 and they're dancing.
Oh,
they're a little
gotta bit. Dance. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Gotta dance. Mm-hmm.
That's an exciting, life does not end at 40.
God, I hope not.
I hope not too. I'm getting really close.
I really enjoy going to a play and seeing something that relates to them and mm-hmm. that they can relate to. That's really important to me. I'm 68.
Well, and this is their prime
really
audience. Talking
yeah,
right now
on stage.
And she wants to see something mm-hmm. different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm saying. I think they are dumbing down their audience.
I agree.
For
yeah.
sure.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you for not being a dumb audience.
Thank you.
You are not.
Opening up the dialogue.
We will continue, I promise. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you.
I had asked you before the break about you mentioned online that you are a veteran.
Yes, I was in the Navy for 6 years.
What?
I know.
What a badass.
I've had a lot of different life.
What drew you to the Navy?
Oh, my gosh. It was such a rash decision. I went to opera school. I dropped out of high school when I was 15. I went to study opera. Uh-huh. And I hated it. I mean, I love opera, but I hated myself in it.
Sure.
And I was on scholarship, and then I didn't have the scholarship anymore. And so I needed money for college. And back, it was before 9/11. Mm-hmm. And you just joined the military and you got your GI Bill and it wasn't really a big deal. You know, we weren't in war.
No,
we weren't
right.
in this.
Right. The Gulf. And if there were any problems,
conflict.
The Gulf War had only, I think that, and not only, by the way, I hate when I hear the word only, how many casualties there were, because those are still people who lost their lives
Absolutely.
And who were injured. There were minimal compared to what's happened since 9/11.
For sure. And 9/11 happened actually while I was in, and that's when everything changed.
Yeah.
It was about halfway through my service when 9/11 happened, and it went from being like this big party, to a very, very serious thing. Yeah.
So the what caught my attention on your, not just your blog, but then I saw that you had posted again the same link I did about there are women who served as pilots during World War II who are not being granted burials in Arlington Cemetery. Maybe you and I can talk soon about what we can do to raise more attention about that, because I think
that.
There are a lot of our listeners who would want to get involved and pressure our legislators to change that, to fix that.
Absolutely. I mean, I can't think of any veteran who wouldn't stand behind that.
Yeah, or American. So.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I'm not throwing down the gauntlet.
They risked their lives
is.
In World War II. I have burial rights. I have federal burial rights. And I mean, I sat behind a computer. You know what I mean? So it's just, it's not.
There were women who flew as pilots during World War II. They were test pilots. They were ferry pilots. And they flew target practice for men to learn do artillery practice as targets. So,
yes.
Yeah, I think that we can go ahead and give them
for
some.
Sure. I think so.
Yeah, I think we can go ahead and do that. Thank you so much, Harmony France. People can find you. Your blog, by the way, which I've been reading some of that as well, and your escapades and Sister Act. And,
oh, my gosh.
And other people posting about their food, and you're like, I'm kind of struggling here to just, I know that, it's some great stuff. How can
Thank
people
you.
Find those?
It's at withharmony.org. Mm-hmm. And I also have HarmonyFrenchChicago.com, which is my actor site.
Well, we look forward to having you back, and let's do that very soon.
Awesome.
And best of luck, and thank you for calling to action.
Thank you for listening.
Absolutely. after the news, we have Cuba Players and Vamp. It's so weird. It's like they don't know who they are right now. I don't know who they are.